This is Coach Chris Holtman. You're listening to Drive the Lane Podcast.
Welcome back to Drive the Lane. Since we last spoke to you, Joey attended an Ohio State basketball practice, which officially marks the start of basketball season. Justin Fields, we'll talk about that. And Ohio State's playing their first real test in Notre Dame. I personally am not, you know, overwhelmed by good thoughts about how that game would go. I'll put it like that. I do, of course, think the Buckeyes can still pull it out, but we will get to all that. The Buckeyes are 3-0. The Bears are 0-2. The Browns have a chance to get to 1-1 tonight, and Ohio State basketball has
2-0, you Browns fan.
Browns are going to be 2-0 after the win tonight, and Ohio State basketball is undefeated. Joey, what did you see in practice that makes you think that undefeated streak could carry past September and October into November?
Well, first of all, Andrew, that's very funny that your subconscious won't let you believe that the Browns can go 2-0 to start a season. I don't even know when the last time they did that. I think I saw it on Twitter earlier today. It's like been like 30-something years, which is a bummer, but at the same time, I'm a Bears fan, and we could talk about that later. But Ohio State hoops, first look at a ton of new faces, and I tweeted about it. A lot of guys that I think people will be excited about, a few guys that stuck out, a few guys that didn't practice, but like in general, it was very nice to be preseason before a football game on campus. The campus is already buzzing about football. You walk into the shot. We got a ton of unofficial visits there. The coaches are yelling. The shoes are squeaking. I got to get some shots up after, which was nice. I haven't touched the ball in months before that. But there's just so much to get to about this Ohio State team. I feel like I can break it down into three different categories. Andrew, which category would you like first? One, two, or three?
I'll take category number two first.
Gotcha. Category number two is the returners. The returners. And the returners, I will narrow down to, we'll call it three people in particular. You had Bruce Thornton, point guard, Roddy Gale, shooting guard, and Felix Akpara. We'll go back to front. Felix was the guy that everybody who was there knew he was there, and he was the guy who was talked about the most, I would say. I sat with Cam Williams and Lenzell Smith Jr., two of the best shooters Ohio State has ever seen, probably. But we were just chopping it up, and they were the first to admit that they didn't follow the team a lot last year. You know, Cam was playing in the Middle East. Actually, they were both were. Cam was playing in the Middle East. Lenzell was playing in Israel, and it made it very hard for them to catch Ohio State games. And truthfully, they just, you know, not everybody is in Columbus following every waking move that the team makes, like you and me, Andrew. But their first initial reaction was like, holy shit, this Felix Akpara guy is a stud. He is 7 foot. You guys know, obviously, I'm not telling you guys this new 7 foot athletic. Like, he is taller than everybody out there. He jumps higher than everybody out there. He was making open threes, which I don't think he'll shoot during the year, but he, in a one-on-one drill, face up, made a three in someone's eyeball like it was nothing. So all that to say is Felix Akpara stood out a ton. Roddy Gale was around. He was fine. He's such a good athlete. Like, he's making these moves that you don't even think are physically possible. Bruce Thornton running the show. Those guys were as advertised, but Felix Akpara really, really stood out. And it's going to be really hard to keep him off the court besides foul.
Tough to miss him.
I agree.
Can I say two follow-ups from the first two questions? I mean,
yeah.
First question is, are we going to get closer to Big Ten tournament Roddy Gale or closer to first 10 games of the season, in your opinion, based off the brief Roddy Gale stuff you saw?
If we don't get Big Ten tournament Roddy Gale, that's a big bummer. I think that it's not even like the playing, right? It's just like the confidence that he got from the tournament. Like, you can tell that he feels like, you know, he's one of, if not the dude on Ohio State, which is great. People forget that Roddy Gale was the highest rated recruit coming out of high school.
People forget that.
Out of that class. So Roddy showed flashes. Defense, offense, you name it. Bruce Thornton run the show. He has braces. That's an update. Bruce Thornton has braces.
Come on. Brace Thornton.
He might not have him come basketball season. We don't know. But
it is basketball season. Sorry.
It's always basketball season. But no, Roddy Gale, I mean, like, he made such a big jump from regular season to postseason, right? Granted, it was just the Big Ten tournament. I would think that there's going to be another jump. And Coach Holtman, I mean, I got to talk to Holt for 20 minutes after practice, which we can talk about after I kind of walk through my three hidden doors, which we've already gone through door number two. But yeah, Roddy's expected to make a huge jump. And that is Big Ten tournament Roddy Gale, at the very least.
All right, follow-up question. You said that Lenzel Smith was playing in the Middle East. Cam Williams was playing in Israel. Safe to say both guys are playing in the Middle East. Technically, I believe Israel is considered a Middle Eastern country.
The specifics of Lenzel off the top of my head. Cam was playing in Azerbaijan most recently. Right near Iraq, right there. But he's come home since then. So he's debating on if he's going back overseas or not. And that's why I don't know if last season he was in Azerbaijan. He might have been in the Middle East. He might have been in South America. I don't know. But that's why I just use the blanket.
Cam Williams is the best practice shooter you've ever seen, right?
Ever. Yeah. Best pickup, one of the best pickup players and the best practice jump shooter I've ever seen.
All right. Let's go through door number three now.
Door number three. Good choice, Andrew. Good choice. That's going to be the transfers. Door number three is the transfers. And here's, I'll allude a little bit to my conversation with Coach Holtman. The route that the staff took this year in getting transfers, because like every team, in order to compete, you have to get transfers that fill the holes in your roster. This year, it's clear and obvious that the strategy was high major transfers. One from Baylor, one from Penn State, one from Minnesota. All high majors, all meaningful basketball players, or played in meaningful basketball games against high major opponents and high major talent. I'm going to give you a quick comparison for each guy, just to kind of help people who maybe don't know. Dale Bonner is, I think he's going to play a lot with Bruce Thornton. I think you're going to see some Bruce Thornton, Roddy Gale, Dale Bonner combo. Dale Bonner is long and rangy for a point guard. He's a good shooter. He clearly has a ton of experience. He was great on defense, pressuring the ball. Him and Bruce were going at it against each other, which was fun. Wise and mature. Like the conversation I had with him after practice, meeting him seems like just seems like a very much a Holtman guy. He reminds me of a CJ Jackson in a sense. Is he going to be a superstar? Who knows? Hopefully, but CJ had plenty of 20-point games. He was a great shooter, plus on defense. I'm excited about Dale Bonner. Then you've got the transfer from Penn State, Cincinnati guy, Evan Mahaffey. I feel like I say his name wrong every single time. That was probably wrong. The best athlete on the floor by far. He struggles to shoot open jump shots, which it seems like that's going to be what's given to him. But as energetic, effort, like just all over the place, blocking shots, dunking balls that you didn't think he could dunk, going up and trying to dunk on people, which he had no business doing. Freak athlete. Holtman and that staff love him. I think he's going to play a lot more than I thought after watching him. And I hate to make this comparison, but it's true. He has a lot of Kyle Young tendencies. He's not as big as KY. He's not necessarily as strong, but he is going to play some stretch five. He is athletic, and as long as he can make some open threes, he's going to be – I really think, like, he's going to be really hard for Holtman to take off the floor also. Like, he was impressive. One of, if not the most impressive guys. Last guy who may have been the most impressive just because it was mostly a skill workout, and there were some playing at the end, some one-on-one, some five-on-five at the end. Jameson Battle, obviously, from Minnesota. Stretch four, he was working out with the big men, which I thought was awesome. Like, one thing that stood out from practice was Ohio State doesn't have the greatest post presence. You can't – Zed Key, obviously, not fully healthy, not fully him yet. Can't really roll the ball into Felix Okpara, go get a bucket. But you might be able to with Jameson Battle. He's bigger than I thought he was. He's taller than I thought he was. And he made a lot of jump shots, whether they be turnaround in the post or open threes. Very impressive. I don't know who to compare him to. It's not fair to compare him to Kata Bates-Diop, but he kind of plays like Kata. But Kata was better in the post. Jameson Battle, better shooter. Kata was way better on defense than Jameson was in the brief 10 minutes that I saw him. But that's neither here nor there. But those three guys, I knew Jameson Battle was going to contribute a lot. Those three guys are all going to contribute this year.
Okay.
Would you like door number one, or do you have any follow-up questions?
I have a few follow-up questions.
Yeah, please. I'm an open book.
I'd say as it stands right now, the best Holtman transfer to date, Sean McNeil.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree. If you Keyshawn was unbelievable down the stretch.
Yeah.
Helped win us a game, two games in the Big Ten tournament, or one game in the Big Ten tournament, and was so good in the NCAA.
And it's weird because this team with Sean McNeil didn't make the tournament, but I'm right. Just thinking about like scope of the season. You think back to Maui, he had like the 50-point game in Maui. But let's just say it's Sean McNeil and Keyshawn Woods tied. If you had to bet,
they're both great.
Is that no longer the answer of Holtman's best transfer after this season?
Yeah, I hope the answer is nothing against Keyshawn and Sean, but I hope Keyshawn and Sean. That's a good duo.
Nothing against Keyshawn.
Nothing against Key and Sean. I think that's the case. I think that Jameson Battle is going to be relied on a lot. He's going to have to score 15 points a game, which Sean and Keyshawn both didn't do. I think there's a major difference is Keyshawn came from high major Wake Forest by way of Charlotte. Obviously, everybody knows Sean came from West Virginia. Neither one of them were necessarily the guy, right? Jameson Battle was very much the guy on Minnesota, and I think that will go a long way. I think he's got a ton of confidence. I think he knows his role. He knows what he's good at. Sean, remember our interview with him, Sean was like, I'm more than just a shooter and I want to prove that, blah, 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 which he did. But Jameson Battle's like, I know my game. I want to go to the NCAA tournament. Like, mm-hmm. I'll do whatever I need to do. You know, so that was the first thing he said to me. I said, we're happy to have you here, man. We're really excited about you. He said, man, I just want to get to the NCAA tournament so bad. So there you go. I love that.
All right, door number one.
Door number one, do you want to guess?
Is it a Bruce Thornton related?
No, I already talked about him, kind of.
You kind of have hit on everyone so far.
Haven't, Andrew. I'm missing one big category.
You mentioned Holtman.
Andrew.
Hit me. Recruiting?
The freshman. So here's the deal. Tayson Chapman did not practice. He's been dealing with some injuries. Austin Parks did not practice, dealing with some injuries. That makes me a little nervous about Tayson Chapman. If he's missing practices, like, am I going to come out and say he's not tough? That's not at all what I'm saying, but.
Breaking news.
No. But, you know, it's never good when guys are injured during the preseason, because that's an important time to establish a role on the team and blah, blah, blah. Austin Parks, we know what he's going to give us. It's a, if not a when he plays sort of deal. As far as the guys who did play, Scotty Middleton, freak athlete, long, athletic, finished a 2-hour practice, was doing between the legs dunks. Very impressive. Devin Royal, you can tell the dude's going to be great. He's got some baby fat on him. He's clearly working into his body. He is way taller than I remember him. He must have grown. Those two guys, though, Scotty Middleton and Devin Royal, were very impressive. I know I'm missing obviously some other peeps out there. Devin Royal was working with the guards, which I like to see. Scottie Middleton obviously working with the guards as well. It'll be interesting to see where those guys fit in. If you don't have any follow-up questions, Andrew, I can kind of segue this into what I talked to Holtman about, but he's raising his hand for those listening.
I do have a follow-up question. So I got the roster pulled up here. It's got pictures.
Yeah.
The Ohio State website, these dudes got some hair. All right. Bruce Thornton, Chapman, hair. Royal, Mahaffey, they got some hair. Is the hair still big and bold? Do we have any cuts as we head into the season? Yeah. Or is it all still big and beautiful?
Tayson Chapman had some big hair. I almost wonder if he was practicing, if his hair would have been that big. Just because, like, I think about Jalen, right? Like, Jalen's, when he's playing, he does not have his hair not in some sort of hairdo because it's just harder to play. But who do I know? Tayson Chapman let the fro fly. I love it. It was a ton of hair. It was great. Devin Royal was much, he's got big hair. Bruce Dorn's got big hair. It's exactly how you picture their hair. Nothing's really changed on that end. And that's the haircut review of the team.
Okay. Now let's get to Holtmann.
Yeah. So the main message from Holtmann was, number one, he's excited about the team. Every coach is going to say that, but we had a really good conversation about what this team has that last year's team maybe didn't have. And that is not necessarily having NBA guys on their team, right? They had Bryce Sensabaugh, you know, you had Malachi in the past, right? You had maybe like a Roddy Gale could do something in the future, right? A Felix Akpara could be an NBA guy in the future, right? What they've been lacking is like a couple really good college basketball players, guys who are experienced. They're old. They've been there. They've done that. They know what it takes to win. Maybe that's because they've come from winning programs or they play a winning style of basketball. And that's what it feels like they have with guys like Bruce Thornton, who is he the quickest? Is he the fastest? No, but he'll get a bucket. He'll lead the team. He was the main voice throughout the whole practice. You got guys like Dale Bonner, who won a national championship at Baylor. Evan Mahaffey from Penn State. Did they win a bunch of games? No. But obviously, Shrewsbury is an incredible coach, and he is a Kyle Young winning brand of basketball player. And then Jamison Battle, who we mentioned.
Well, they were good last year. They were good last year.
They were good. They were incredible last year. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
So I just think about old Penn State and how they were just they were always good but never great, not making the NCAA tournament. Yeah, they were great. Great coach, great piece around him. He didn't get to play a ton, but comes from a winning brand of basketball to him. And then Jamison Battle obviously is a really good college basketball player and has already proved it. And the comment he made of like, man, I'm, you know, if he would have came to me and said, man, I just want to get to the NBA. Like, that's great. That's awesome. You know, we want to help you get there. But the fact that he came to me and said, man, I'm so happy to be here. I just want to make the NCAA tournament. Like, that's awesome. I think that can't be understated. Like, I'm excited about this crew. Obviously, I'm going to be positive because that's just what I do. Were they unbelievably impressive? No, there was a lot of stuff to shake out. They're concentrating really hard on the defensive end, but like there were a lot of positives. And the thing I'm most positive about is that the new guys, whether it be the incoming guys, freshmen or the transfers, like Ohio State fans are going to be excited about the type of basketball that these guys play. Like Scotty Middleton, the highest rated recruit, plays really, really, really hard. Like he plays really hard and he's talking shit the whole time. And he's athletic and he's fun and charismatic. Like people are going to love him. So there was a lot to love about it. And it's do or die. We've talked about it a million times on the show. It's do or die for Ohio State and we'll see how it goes.
People forget Scotty Middleton, highest rated player in the class.
Well, people don't forget it. I just reminded.
All right. So sticking with the theme of Ohio State players, but we're going to move on to former Ohio State players.
Yeah, people also forget that Justin Fields was one of the best players in the country, but here we are.
I think he's trending towards being done. However,
it's not over. I won't let it be over.
However, it seems as if they are not even the Bears being they are not even using him to his strengths. Like, I think he has two designed QB runs this season, and he had like 50 last year or something like that. I saw some stat. Like, I know that like people say this kind of stuff and it sounds terrible, but like, if he can't throw the ball, he's really good at other stuff. Like, I don't think his NFL career is close to being over. I think he has a chance of like not being the starting quarterback, but how great of like a, of just like a weapon is he? He can be the backup quarterback. He could be, you know, the starter if you need it. Like,
well, don't even get me started on that. Like, he's going to make another team incredibly happy as the starting quarterback and probably win them playoff games because that's just how it works. Like, the Bears are cursed. It's crazy. They're just cursed. I almost feel bad that Caleb Williams is going to be a Bear next year also. Like, it's just – it's
and Marvin Harrison.
And Marvin Harrison, but we're fine with wide receivers. Well, you know, like Kevin, whatever happened to Kevin White? Nothing wrong with him. The greatest player ever. But no, in all seriousness, I'm not ready to give up, but I am very hesitant to say that he's the guy after watching like the clips that are on Twitter of him just standing in the pocket, in a good pocket, in a solid pocket with wide open guys that he's not throwing it to are scary. That's hard. That's hard as a Justin Field backer. In Chicago, or as a Chicago fan and Justin Fields backer, it's hard to convince people otherwise when they see those plays. The only thing that I feel like is keeping hope up for me is the staff. They're just terrible. Like, they just have to be terrible, right? They ran the same screenplay three times in a row on the 2-yard line. The same play three times in a row. Once there was a defensive penalty, they ran the same play again. It was an offensive penalty. They ran the same play again, and they threw a pick six. The other thing, just in general, like as many bad clips as there are of Justin Fields not throwing the ball, there are plenty of bad clips of like the offensive scheme and the routes that they're running are so ridiculously bad. And maybe the wide receivers just can't remember the plays. I hope that's the case. Cause I see like two guys running a curl on top of each other. How is that even possible that's happening? The fact that they are trying to make Justin Fields a pocket passer when that's not his strength, which you just mentioned, right? That's not what he's best at. He's really good throwing it on the run, making plays with his feet, getting out of the pocket, like stuff like that. And that's just not happening. It's just bizarre. I hate wide receiver screens in college. I hate them in the NFL. What wide receiver screen has ever worked unless you're throwing the ball to Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson? Literally.
I do think there's a little bit of this guy had Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave going up against cornerbacks that are now working at Enterprise. There's definitely a lot of that talk out there, which I don't necessarily disagree with, but like to show that is very true with, because everyone's like, why was he good in college? Why was he the best player in the country in college? Why was he a Heisman finalist? Those receivers he had were insane. I mean, you saw the other night, Zach Wilson literally threw the ball backwards and Garrett Wilson grabbed it and scored. So like
you just know that those guys are going to be open. Like he only had like one read. It was like Chris Olave, or on this play, it's Garrett Wilson. Like, I could not agree more with you there.
Yeah. He also had like Dobbins or other, that might be the wrong running back that he had, but they had multiple weapons. I mean, Trey Sermon ran for 350 yards in the semifinal game with him. Not that the Bears defense isn't good. It definitely hasn't looked great. I might even say the Bears defense is bad, but he also had Ohio State's defense backing him up. Like I heard on a podcast the other day that Jordan Love said something like, Matt LaFleur was like, do you want to go for it? And it was like 4th-and-2. And Jordan Love was like, hell yeah, I want to go for it. And I guess one of the safeties on the Packers was like, hey coach, even if we don't get it, like, we got your back.
We got your back. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no way that the Bears defense is like, hey, even if you don't get this on our own 40, we got you. Don't worry. We've been letting Mike Evans get past us on every play. And it's not a good situation. I have no clue how you fix it or how you solve it. And I also don't know if it's solvable, but like we said, we know that Justin Fields will play in the NFL for a long time, you know, position and role TBD. And I don't mean not quarterback. I just mean like get creative with him, but look at Mariota. Mariota was way better than Fields the first few games of the season last year as Fields has been this year, but Fields was great. I don't know. It's just like,
Fields to Marcus Mariota. That's so sad.
Yeah, but like he's a valuable NFL player, Marcus Mariota.
Oh, he's not supposed to be a valuable NFL player. He's supposed to be the guy on a really good team.
I'm from a non-Bears fan perspective, I'm just saying Justin Fields' career is not over, but his time as a starting quarterback. Oh my God,
I don't disagree. Like, it's just so sad that this is the conversation.
Spin zone.
There's no spin zone. What?
Stroud is going to make everyone forget about Fields from an Ohio State perspective, not a Bears perspective, as he wins Rookie of the Year. But
yeah, truthfully, I could not care at all about the Ohio State quarterback narrative right now. I just want Justin Fields to be better.
What would you rather happen? Fields included in this question. The Bears win 7 games this year and Fields may look okay, or they're terrible and they get Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison. Like, at this point,
well, if you told me we could have Marvin Harrison and Caleb Williams, yeah, I'd want that.
That's a legitimate scenario.
I know. Could you imagine?
Go Saints tonight, right? Want the Panthers to lose every game? Need the Panthers and the Bears to lose every game, and then it's a real possibility. But the Cardinals and the Texans might lose every game. There might be a 4-way tie. Do any of those teams play? We got to find out if any of those teams play.
The Cardinals are so much better than the Bears.
Yeah, but without Kyler, I don't know. Who cares about the Cardinals? But last thing I'll say about Stroud Fields Ohio State quarterback narrative is I don't think that narrative is changing from Kyle McCord being a future first round pick. And that's that's a good transition into Ohio State versus Notre Dame, a finally fun potential matchup,
a top for 10 Ohio matchup. State
football, a top 10 matchup. Kyle McCord is definitely looking solid the last 2 weeks after looking okay. Yeah.
Let's give the man some love. He's been great the last 2 weeks. He's been great.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Fumble here, there.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Yeah, you've been doing it all show. I respect
it. I think Justin Fields, seeing what he's doing in the NFL, makes me more nervous about Kyle McCord against Notre Dame. Because we are now seeing a little bit of, all right, Fields had Olave and Wilson. Like, what if Marvin Harrison's, like, not having his best game? What if Notre Dame's Impossible. Got a good corner on him?
Possible.
Me and you are not the two guys to say why Ohio State's going to win the game, but normally we just cycle through. They got Marvin Harrison. They got Emeka Ibuka. Travion Henderson
looks great.
Yeah.
Your rushing prop is in danger.
He's got 3 now? I think he only has 3.
Oh, touchdowns? I thought it was yards.
It was 1,000 yards or 1,200 yards.
Interesting.
The Emeka Ibuka looks decent. No, but you're right.
Every Ohio State fan that doesn't know anything about X's and O's says the same thing. How could we lose? We have Marvin Harrison, Emeka Ibuka, Travion Henderson.
The defense looks great, and Kyle McCord is getting better. So that's what I'll say. Notre Dame is Notre Dame until proven otherwise. Ohio State is Ohio State until proven otherwise. It's going to be a real test. Luckily, Ohio State's already played a game on the road in Indiana, which is fun. That place is going to be rocking. Me and Andrew will be there. Not, I wish. That'd be so fun. I have, like, shades of, after watching the Urban Meyer documentary on Netflix, I have shades of, like, if, like, Steve Spurrier versus Urban, and Urban goes and wins. I have shades of Marcus Freeman versus Ryan Day. Granted, it's a little bit different, but Marcus Freeman played at Ohio State. Ohio State fan, you know, maybe he was in theory, like, thinking eventually he'd be the D coordinator and maybe have a chance at the job or whatever, right down the line. And goes to Notre Dame and he's played him once already. He's about to play him again. I feel shades of that. What I can tell you is that the one place where Notre Dame is way better than Ohio State is their quarterback, and that plays a big role. Sam Hartman is a stud, bona fide stud. And if Notre Dame's going to win, he's going to have to play good to out of his mind, somewhere in between there, depending on how Ohio State's offense looks. And if Ohio State wants to win, Kyle McCord has to be great, period.
Yeah. I mean, I think they can win this game. Obviously, there hasn't been an Ohio State game in a long time where we didn't think they had a chance to win and weren't the favorite.
Yeah.
I do think this will drastically change the whole season, the result of this game, what people think about Notre Dame, what people think about Ohio State. What's funny is this is one of those weird games where it doesn't really matter because they can lose this game and then win out, and they'll have wins over Michigan and Penn State.
Right.
So it matters, but it doesn't really matter. You can't get blown out, but you can play a good game, lose it close, and then, you know, Notre Dame and Ohio State are in the playoff. You know, there's all the SEC does not look good. It's almost a definite one school year or one team year.
One bid is a basketball term. Thank you.
It feels like a one bid year.
One big league, the SEC.
But yeah, I mean, it's a game you can lose. It's a game you don't want to lose. It's a game that Steel Chambers needs to have a big impact again. I mean, there's not really much else to say. We're going to know so much more about this team after the game.
I'm really excited to have a little bit more content to talk about as regarding Ohio State football. I'm excited for people to be over the moon excited and or really upset about stuff. I'm really excited about that. I'm excited for Ryan Day to either be praised or have his job on the line all of a sudden.
I was just going to say, we either get a Sunday coaching search or a Sunday, you know, this is the guy locked in.
Yeah. So, yeah. Here's a good question. Is Ryan Day the Ohio State football coach for longer, or is Justin Fields the Chicago Bears quarterback for longer?
Rostered or starting?
He's either going to be off the team or the starting quarterback.
Well, no. That's your opinion. You asked me the question. I'm wondering what are you considering as
Justin Fields being the quarterback for the Ohio State Bears, Ryan Day being the Ohio State Bears. Did I say the Ohio State Bears?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So the starter, the guy. He could be the on guy. He could be on the team but benched.
The team is Justin Fields as the quarterback for the Bears. Ryan Day is the head coach for Ohio State.
Okay, I think Fields gets benched this year. I don't think Day gets fired in season.
Justin Fields can get benched. I don't think he can get benched.
What if they're 0-5?
But the idea that they're preparing for the future, you got to get him more reps if he stinks.
Unless you're all the way out. I don't know. But wait, you asked what I think. You asked what I think. I think he's getting – because Day's not getting fired in season. Day's not getting fired, period. So he's definitely not getting fired in season. I think there's a chance Fields gets benched in season.
Yeah, fair enough. If he gets benched, that would be so sad.
Did you see what the one – I think it was Shaq Barrett who, like, wanted to be traded, was like, I'm having so much fun on this team this year for the Bucks.
He's a legend.
That's how bad that Fields and the Bears were, that a guy who asked for a trade is now, like, happy with the team he's on.
Football is the best sport ever. I love Baker Mayfield as my quarterback. Right. My friends were all – the group chat was like, should we trade for Baker? Is that what we should do?
I was going to say, rest of the season, would you rather have Baker or Fields? If you're the Jets. That's a question.
If you're the Jets, you probably want Baker, right? It's much more of a sure thing. I thought you were saying if you're the Bears. I was like –
no, if you're the Bears, it doesn't make a difference. I was just switched it to the
if
Jets.
The Bears, you probably want Justin Fields so you can get that top five pick.
Exactly. All right. Do we got anything else?
Browns Steelers tonight, Andrew. Let's hear a quick like score prediction and all that fun stuff so that when we run this tomorrow, people will be like, you were right or wrong.
Sure. What about Chubb over 100 yards rushing. Chubb 2 rushing touchdowns, including the first. David Njoku receiving touchdown. This is what I think.
David Njoku rushing touchdown.
Chubb rushing and receiving touchdown, and over 100 yards. Watson has two touchdowns passing, one to Chubb, one to Njoku.
And what, so sounds like the Browns win 42-7.
I think they win the game. If they lose, I'm going to miss Baker.
Baker's balling. He might win comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
Baker, touchdown maker, man. He torched the Bears. Golly. We made him look like the like this dude was drafted number one overall or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, well, Andrew, always a pleasure. We have some if you're wondering why it's just me and Andrew on this episode, you can have your best guess at why that is. But all we can tell you is the rain checks for some guests that we have in the queue right now are pretty exciting. There is a quasi-transition of what we're going to be talking about more so than other things as we move closer to basketball season. There are some freshman player of the years coming up. There are some NBA All-Stars coming up. There are some really exciting Ohio State alums that people will want to tune in for. So I could assure
technically, I think that could all be the same person. The three descriptions you just said, but they are different people. But I think technically they also all apply to the same person, right?
We have multiple guys that we have. Wow. Actually, there's a handful of guys, and one of those guys qualifies for every statement that I made. Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you say he played at Ohio State?
I said he played Ohio State, freshman of the year, NBA All-Star.
Wow.
Lefty.
Wait, are you talking about a lefty version of LeBron?
Yeah, it's LeBron. It's LeBron James.
One quick coolest thing
that
I saw.
That guy that I just named could be two guys.
Yeah, but real quickly, coolest thing I saw. Wait, was – okay. I'll ask you off the air. We don't want to give anything away. Coolest thing I saw this week, I saw a Bronny James USC jersey and Lakers LeBron jersey next to each other at a Walmart in USC for sale. Very cool.
Very cool. Very cool. Very swag.
Buckle up. Drive the lane.
Go Buckeyes. Beat the Fighting Irish.